The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, March 15th, if you're listening to the pod. Sunday, March 14th, if you are streaming the pod with us on YouTube. You can come out and hang out for the live chat if you're so inclined. We got started a little bit later than normal. Ryan Wilson is joining me. Had a bunch of things he was doing around the house. But you know what? You got to do what you got to do, Wilson. And I am not bothered by you taking care of putting your family before this podcast.
I will say I've known you since 2007, and now you're the point when I scold you. You're just like, yeah, okay, whatever, and you just move on. We don't have to talk about it. And
yeah, no, I mean, I felt bad. I was late. I think it's you know what the problem for me is in reality, the adjustment to
don't say daylight savings time.
No. The adjustment to post Super Bowl Sunday podcast gets me every year. Because you're used to like your podcast at Sunday at midnight. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, like the podcast, I mean, obviously the podcast is on my radar because it's daily, but it wasn't like, you know, I was having a nice walk with my son, my dog. It's beautiful weather here. How's the weather up in wherever you live?
Well, it's funny. Before you showed up while you were walking George and Robbie, I had to take my 9-year-old to urgent care because he fell. He's clumsy. He fell down in the front yard in the driveway yesterday over the weekend. And hyperextended his fingers. Ooh. And he has the lowest tolerance for pain of anyone you'll ever meet. You'll hit him with a pillow and he'll say, ow. So I didn't take it seriously. And then it said it hurt on Sunday morning. So I spent the morning driving to urgent care. He's fine. But there was literally a blizzard. I could not see. The visibility was probably 40,
oh my God.
40 feet. So that's what I did for the first few hours of Sunday morning.
Well, no wonder you're in such a great mood. You know what would make you feel better? A little Riptor juice. That's right.
What is that?
A nice little IPA from 26 Acres Brewing in Concord, North Carolina. Shout out Cabarrus County.
Nice, Cabarrus. You know how to say Concord in Massachusetts, the town there?
Concord?
Concord.
Concord, yeah. I'm sure that they appreciate that.
What's the alcohol volume on that bad boy? Let me guess. 6.2 probably.
Oh, that might be a good guess. 7.2. 7.2.
Woo! Happy Sunday.
Yeah, indeed. I just grabbed something out of the fridge. I bought this at the store the other day. Anyway, on this episode, Mock Draft 5.0, in the feed, a mailbag. And we answer questions that you guys leave for us on Apple Podcasts. So if you have a question about a team, a player, free agency, the offseason, anything, go leave said question on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review, and we will answer your question. Also coming up, daily free agent recaps. That's right. The NFL free agent season starts today, Monday. And we've been coming at you early mornings for years now. But just for this week, we're going to release evening recaps around free agency. So be looking for those. And we would also like you, it's free agent season. That means it's also March Madness. We'd love for you to compete with us in a bracket challenge game. I'll be in there. Wilson will be in there. Breach will be in there. Probably no Prisco. As some around the company like to say. Prisco probably won't be in there, but we want you to join us too. And if you go to cbssports.com/pick6brackets, that's cbssports.com/pick6brackets, The winner gets a prize. Who enters just one pool? You can also create a group to compete against friends. They'll let you bracket for a chance to win a Nissan Rogue and a trip to the 2022 Final Four. Play with us on the CBS Sports app or at cbssports.com/pick6brackets. Debo, do we know what said prize might be?
I can't confirm any prize right now. It's in the works. The Pick 6 prize will not be a Nissan Rogue. I can confirm that.
Yeah, I just wondering, is it something that like, it's like only like a podcast listener would like, or is it like cash?
Could be some swag, could be some cash, gift card. It's up in the air right now. But you know, if you're interested in Pick 6 swag, stay tuned for a potential announcement on that.
I was just going to put you on the spot, Debo, because we talked about it on the company meeting last week about the Pick 6 swag. I have yet to see any. Just as Brinson said, to see any of the CBS swag because he can't answer.
Unbelievable. Email. Somebody give me some CBS swag.
So I'm looking forward to the Pick 6 swag.
Yeah, Pick 6 store. What a world that would be if they gave us a store for our...
Ooh. You can buy a t-shirt with Brinson's face on it. What a world.
Tell us, tweet us, 5-star review, something that you would want to see from the Pick 6 universe on a t-shirt, for example. A saying, a photo, something like that. Let's get creative and involve the Pick 6 listeners here because there might be a chance to, base some stuff off listener suggestions.
Wow, that would be cool. All right. Let's get to the podcast, and we start not with Wilson's mock draft, although that's what we're gonna revolve this podcast around, but with the news that free agent running back, I was calling him Jerry Jones, Aaron Jones of the Green Bay Packers has signed a 4-year, $48 million contract to remain in Green Bay. The Packers, we thought, didn't have a ton of cap space, didn't have a ton of room to maneuver. You know, they didn't use a franchise tag on Jones, but were able to bring him back for $12 million a year, which slots him in the second tier of running backs in terms of contracts. Christian McCaffrey makes $16 million a year. Alvin Kamara, $15 million. Zeke Elliott, $15 million. And then Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry, $12.5 million. And Joe Mixon, $12 million. And after that, there's a steep drop off to Kenyon Drake at $8.48 million. So really, and I guess actually that was Kenyon Drake on a single-year deal with that franchise tag. But you get the point. So it's rarefied air. He's a running back who got $12 million plus to in 2021. That's good. That's good news. So we'll see the breakdown of the full contract. But this is a major win for the Packers, I think, Wilson, and a major win for, more specifically, Aaron Rodgers to be able to bring back a key weapon for them. Drew Rosenhaus, as you noted, tweeted that Jones took less though, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That maybe that's what Rosenhaus is supposed to say. But it is interesting because over the before the weekend, there were reports that the expectation was that if Aaron Jones was going to get paid, it would be for less than double digit million, so less than 10 million. So he cleared that by a large hurdle. Also worth noting, you almost called him Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, running back in high school and when he went to Arkansas,
I think, and also famous for overpaying running backs.
There you go. Yeah, he did play football at Arkansas. He was a co-captain of the 64 National Championship football team, according to Wikipedia. But anyway, so not Jerry Jones, although I would like to see him as a running back in today's NFL just for fun. But so here's the thing. So you mentioned the salary cap situation, and they drafted A.J. Dillon last year in the second round as opposed to getting a wide receiver. We talked about that. The only other running back on that roster with anything close to a handful of snaps was Dexter Williams.
Yep.
And he's had 7 career rushes, I believe. So they had to do something. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you can certainly draft a running back, but you're not going to draft anyone better than Aaron Jones. But then again, you did take A.J. Dillon last year. So what are you doing? And you could use that money, by the way, to get my boy Will Fuller, which now gets a little more difficult.
Well, or you could ask the question, it looks like, did you really need to draft A.J. Dillon in the second round? If your plan was to pay Aaron Jones, and I'm fine paying Aaron Jones. I don't like paying running backs, but Aaron Jones is way more dynamic, way more explosive in the passing game than A.J. Dillon. He's a red zone beast, has just a nose for the end zone, and has been a huge weapon for Aaron Rodgers. And to me, bringing him back is not a crazy endeavor, particularly if, and I would assume this happens once we see the financials, it's probably a 2 or 3 year deal that the Packers can get out of if they want to. But Jones doesn't have a ton of tread on his tires. I just sort of want, I mean, maybe it's so much, maybe it's one of those things where they feel like they need a committee back or whatever, and they want A.J. Dillon to be their closer, and Jamal Williams is going to be out in this spot. I guess that could make some sense, but
But it's, you know, $12 million though. I mean, you talk about like,
well, if you're going to pick one of the two, spend the $12 million on the running back or draft a running back in the second round. Don't do both.
That's right. Because Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry aren't sort of part of a committee. They're the guys you lean on. So, and Joe Mixon for that matter, although he struggled to stay healthy. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is happy about it, but I would imagine he wants a receiver at some point. I don't know if he's ever going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they'll draft. Well, it's just the combination of Jordan Love and A.J. Dillon. So it just feels...
And they took a tight end in the third round after taking Jay Sternberger the year before.
It just feels a little redundant and unnecessary at this point. And it has for a while, but it feels even more so that way.
Hey, they're winning.
Given, yeah, they're winning. Yeah, it's hard to get mad at them. So you don't likely have the Packers taking a...
No, I never have.
In the first round.
I've always had them taking either like a wide receiver or usually defense.
There you go. Okay. Well, let's dive in and find out exactly what you have in the mock draft. More importantly, this is really your first trade mock draft, isn't it?
I think this is the most extensive trade mock draft I've done. I've done a few, but
you've had mock drafts with trades, but this is like your first trade heavy mock draft.
Yeah. Prisco did his second mock draft last week and he had one trade. So I had to at least exceed one trade. I think I ended up having, I had two and maybe three, depending on which version I sent to Debo. So you have to check out this podcast and then check the website on Monday and see if I got even crazier.
Well, what was the big trade was the 49ers trading up to number three. With the Dolphins, they get 12, 103 and a 2022 first rounder. Who are they chasing?
Chasing a little Justin Fields.
Do you like Justin Fields in that offense?
Yeah, I love him in that offense. People say Trey Lance in that offense. I think he would be good too. But the thing about Trey Lance, and you know, we've said this to her blue in the face, just hasn't played a lot of football. And Justin Fields, I think we were talking about this with Emery, or I was talking about this with Emery on HQ. But the thing, we're at the point in the season, in the pre-draft season, where people are going to find something to hate about everybody. So, you know, people are nitpicking Justin Fields. People aren't saying that much about Trevor Lawrence, but I just think they moved on from him. But a year ago, people had concerns with Joe Burrow for whatever reason.
Sure.
But yeah, I like Justin Fields a lot. And the thing is, he's played one fewer year of college football than Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence had his issues early on in sophomore season. We've talked about that. And I think if Justin Fields has another year, he's going to be a fantastic player. And I think if you're looking for someone to get the most out of a player, whatever offensive position it plays, you start with Kyle Shanahan and the next guy up is Sean McVay. So if they're not sold on Jimmy Garoppolo, and it doesn't sound like they are just based on the reports we've seen, and you can roll with Jimmy G for one more year and then get Justin Fields out there full time in 2021. I would imagine you will find, or 2022. I'd imagine you find ways to get him on the field in 2021 as well, because he's a good athlete. And, you know, we saw sort of that with Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco during his first year in the Ravens. Memorably, Joe Flacco throwing all those medicine balls to Lamar Jackson, who said, "Look, I'm going to quit trying to catch these things. You're trying to get me killed."
That's right. He's like lining Lamar out wide, and like Joe Flacco's like throwing it up in the air towards the defense. Yeah.
So watch out for that, Justin Fields. But yeah, I had them trading up for Justin Fields at number three with the Dolphins. I had the Dolphins trading down to 12, and I had the Dolphins going to 12 and still getting Jalen Waddle.
Oh, very impressive. If you're Miami, if you're Tua, I think you're happy about the outcome there, right?
Yeah. If you're Brian Flores and Chris Greer, you're happy as well, because you trade down, you get Jalen Waddle. This all assumes that Deshaun Watson, you know, isn't in the mix. Although maybe that happens draft day. I don't know. Because at that point you get another first round pick, a 22 first rounder. So you're stockpiling picks. You get a fourth rounder and a first rounder the next year to move down nine spots. You get Jalen Waddle, who's probably the best deep receiver in this draft class. You help out Tua in the process. Yeah, I think it's a win-win. And you're not in a position where, at number three, you feel obligated to take a wide receiver, which feels sort of high to me. Like, a wide receiver three, how often does that work out? How often is that a home run? I mean, the Falcons traded for Julio Jones with the intention to win the Super Bowl. You could argue they should have won it, obviously, that one year. But it didn't happen. So, and all the people that drafted him have since been fired. So,
I mean, the Bengals drafted A.J. Green and made the playoffs a bunch.
Yeah, then that's actually a better example, because they didn't have to trade up, and they were truly terrible football team. They also got Andy Dalton.
Well, I mean, I just think if you're the Dolphins and you're thinking about taking a wide receiver, the way that this class works with Ja'Marr Chase, Devonta Smith, and Jaylen Waddle, just to name the top three, right? Mm-hmm. If you can move down and get an extra first-round pick and still get one of those wide receivers, that's the move.
Why not?
And they did just that. So I would give both of those teams a win there. I don't know how aggressive the 49ers would be. I mean, that's given up a lot to move up. But, I mean, if you buy – I mean, I guess the question is, do you think that Justin Fields will be there at 9 or do you need to leapfrog the Eagles and the Panthers in order to get that quarterback? And it's entirely possible it's the latter, and you're spot on with this move.
Debo, do you believe the reports from Chris Mortensen that Jeff Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, wants to build around Jalen Hurts, and that is a sign that they're not taking a quarterback, or is this just smokescreen season because we're getting close to the draft?
I'll buy into it, although everything this offseason kind of has been misleading. I think the report is pretty tied in, so I'll buy it.
Okay, so if that's the case, then the Eagles are out. I actually had them taking Ja'Marr Chase, which I'm guessing Debo probably is okay with if they're rolling with Jalen Hurts. And who'd you mention? I mean, there's the Panthers there. There's another trade up. Is that the one I included in this one? Yeah, that's the one I included in this one. I think I added another one after I sent Debo version 2. So at 9, were the Broncos. They could be in the conversation, but I've heard reports that they're not going to draft a quarterback early. Certainly the Cowboys and the Giants aren't going to do it. I don't know. That's the question. Like, I could see 5 quarterbacks going in the top 10, but that sounds bonkers because that's a lot of quarterbacks to go that high. I know people.
5 is so many, but it's
people
not.
People don't love Mac Jones as much as me in the media, but I talked to Scott last week who was like, I would take Mac Jones over Justin Fields and Trey Lance because he has a higher floor. And that's a concern because, like, look, we're not losing our jobs if we take Trey Lance first overall. No one cares. But, I mean, if you're a GM and you're like, all right, I got to – my job –
dude, if you go over 32 on your mock draft, nothing happens to your job.
I just get last place in the mock draft ratings.
Right. Yeah, you'll be mocked internally and, like, we'll text about it. But, like, you're not losing your job over a bad mock draft.
So I think that's sort of the way you think about the quarterback position anyway, because you can miss on a wide receiver, running back, or whatever. That happens. But the quarterback, that's the most important position. So if you're concerned about Trey Lance just because of the lack of experience and you're basically on a one-year deal as a GM, I think you're probably more inclined to roll with Mac Jones because you know what you have. He's a guy with a dad bod that does everything you want him to do. He's just not going to run a 4.5 40. And I think that's, you know, teams by nature are conservative anyway. So I think they're more inclined to roll with someone like that if you're picking in the top 10 and your team historically sucks. Now, if you're up there, like the Eagles, for example, you're probably more inclined to take someone if you're looking for a quarterback who's more of a wild card because you have that flexibility, although Doug Peterson might argue with that.
I don't disagree with that. I just it's going to be fast. It all depends on how these teams outside the top, outside Jacksonville evaluate these quarterbacks, because I don't think we know for sure. And obviously in your mock draft, you still have the Jets taking Zach Wilson, number 2 overall. That's
and I have no idea. And Prisco said that he's heard that there's some disagreement inside the building.
Correct.
About who wants what.
Was he specific about who's on what side there?
I don't think so.
Is it like ownership? Is it ownership? Is it the coaches versus the GMs? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You would imagine that the GM and coach are on the same page, but because Joe Douglas certainly had something to do with Robert Saleh's hiring, right? That wasn't just foisted upon him.
No, I think it's all Joe Douglas.
Right.
Okay. Because remember, because the Robert Saleh hiring happened as Woody Johnson was coming back and Christopher Johnson was going out. Right. So I would guess it was like Joe Douglas making the moves and then Christopher Johnson and Woody Johnson both signing off on it to make sure that everybody was on board. Although Lord only knows that the Jets, it could be, you know, there could be any sort of machination there.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that we don't talk a lot about, but it's brought up occasionally when you talk to folks, is ownership is a huge issue. And, you know, Jimmy Haslam finally got out of the way, and look what that team did. They Andrew Berry they hired. Who knows what he's doing? Kevin Stefanski. I don't know. Did he win Coach of the Year?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that was my
coach. We owe you some money for that.
Yeah, he was my Coach of the Year guy. Haslam finally got out of the way, and things were able to roll. And now,
it looks like the Jets are doing that.
Woody Johnson went to the other side of the world, and it was still a disaster. But I think Adam Gase and Greg Williams had something to do with that.
But Woody's back now and in charge, so it'd be interesting to see how that dynamic changes. I do think Joe Douglas, if Joe Douglas is the one actually pulling the shots and all that, I think it's a lot less likely that he is, that he's the type. I think it's a lot less likely that he trades for Deshaun Watson or tries to.
So have you seen Zach Wilson at all? Do you have any familiarity with you?
Yes, I've seen him, but I would not want to opine as to my.
Let me just lay out how he looks to me after watching him all season. So he seems to me sort of like coming out. He reminds me a lot of Baker Mayfield and a lot of the best parts of Johnny Manziel, both Heisman Trophy winners. One was the first overall pick, obviously. Right. But just in terms of the college play. So if you're the Jets at number two, and people like to compare him to Patrick Mahomes, but that's a bit too much. That's a bridge too far.
That's insane.
As the grandparents say. But he reminds me a lot of Baker. And he's a little more athletic and just as good an arm, that type of arm strength. So if you're the Jets at number two, you have Sam Darnold 2 years ago. You don't know what you have in him because who the hell knows what Sam Darnold is at this point? Because
well, 1 year to go.
Right.
And then you decide this offseason if you want to pick him as fifth-year option.
Yeah. So if you're at number two and you get offers for teams to move up, where are you at if you're Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh?
I mean, where I would be at on this particular situation is that I would want to roll with Sam Darnold because we already have something invested in him. Unless you can get, if you can get a high second round pick for Sam Darnold, then I would probably trade Sam Darnold and take Zach Wilson. But if I can get multiple first round picks for the second overall.
If you trade Sam Darnold for a second round pick or whatever it is, then you have to start Zach Wilson. And are you comfortable starting Baker Mayfield in year one? And let's see. So Baker
Mayfield set the rookie record for passing touchdowns.
I was just trying to say that team was actually better than the Jets team is currently constituted, right? That Browns team?
Yeah. I was going to point out one more. Oh, your other trade. Sorry. The WFTs trade up to number 9 with the Denver Broncos. Denver gets number 19, 51, and a 2022 third rounder. What was the impetus for that?
Well, I mean, they cut Alex Smith. They got rid of Dwayne Haskins so he could go on to his Hall of Fame career with the Steelers, and they have Taylor Heineke in that 2-year deal. So that's it. I mean, are you rolling with Taylor Heineke? Is he starting the season as quarterback?
Don't think they want to.
Yeah, how much money do they have? I'm not sure how much salary cap. I think
they got like $40 million, so they got a ton. Yeah, even after tagging Scherf, they have like $35 or $40 million.
I mean, I could make the John Breach argument, which I don't hate, which is his argument for every team that needs a quarterback, just sign Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I mean, if you like someone like Trey Lance, and Trey Lance is a souped-up version of what they had in RG3 back in the day, I mean, I don't hate it. And you have a quarterback. And in that division with Daniel Jones, Jalen Hurts, and Dak is back, you know, you might end up having the second best quarterback in year one. If Trey Lance advances like you want, and you have that defense to lean on. So, yeah, that was the thing in there. I don't think I've certainly haven't had them traded up in the past.
How do you think Trey Lance does from an accuracy, like early on accuracy, quick hitting perspective?
He's smart. He runs a pro style offense, an offense that ran the ball a ton, which is a concern because he hasn't thrown the ball a lot and he obviously didn't play this year. But he's plenty accurate. And those pro day, he missed some throws. I don't care about that. I mean, it's a pro day. Johnny Manziel wore a helmet and everyone was gushing about how good he was. Think about that. That dude wore a helmet at a pro day and people didn't even say, hey, that's super weird.
And they blasted rap music. Yeah, it should have been a major red flag. Yeah. He's like,
no, Trey Lance looked good at his pro day and he's big. Like Justin Fields is a great runner. Trey Lance is probably a better runner. Yeah, I love Justin, Trey Lance. He has a rifle. I mean, he just didn't play last year. That's it. So there's certainly some projections, but there's no concern about him like there were. And I think Ron Rivera made some comments over the weekend about how Dwayne Haskins has to get reassess what he wants. And by that, he means he's got to be willing to work hard. That's not a concern with Trey Lance. And also, as you've noted in the past, this would be Ron Rivera's guy. Dwayne was Daniel Snyder's guy.
Yeah, huge difference.
Here, let me tell you real quick. This is the other trade that I have in the latest version, version 3 that I didn't send to Debo. I have the Jets trading up from their second round pick at 23 to 14. And they give up, because they have a ton of picks and a ton of cap space, with the Vikings. And the Vikings get pick number 23, number 66, and 147, which is a third and fifth rounder. And the Jets trade up to 14 after taking Zach Wilson to get Devonta Smith, who's there.
They trade up to 14 from 23?
Yeah.
And get, I mean, I love it. So you get Zach Wilson and Devonta Smith. That's the thing for the Jets is they have the left tackle of Mekhi Becton.
I mean, you can draft the tackle, but you don't.
No. But I'm saying like they have a stud. That's what future all pro left tackle.
I'm agreeing with you. Yeah.
You have Denzel Mims. You got who looks like a pretty good burner. And I think Jameson Crowder's still under contract.
He's still there, but that's it. Yeah.
But like you got to get an alpha receiver. And so I would like to see, and if you assume that, Mike LaFleur, who's the offensive coordinator there, is going to be able to run something similar to what Kyle Shanahan, what Matt LaFleur run, then in theory, he's going to be able to get somebody like Devontae Smith open in space, which is what he did so well in Alabama. So
look at this. So yeah, Jameson Crowder, one more year. Golly, Jameson, how much money would you pay Jameson Crowder in 2021?
$8 million.
11.3.
I'm fine with that.
So Jameson, Denzel, and all they have otherwise on that roster, wide receiver, is Josh Dotson, Josh Malone, Braxton Berrios.
Right. Okay. Sweet mercy. That's not good.
No. And then a bunch of guys who haven't played who are restricted free agents.
Okay. I like that move by the Jets. So that's a third trade. You have a third trade in this first round.
Yeah. I got crazy.
Oh, look at you getting crazy with the cheese whiz. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will rip through the rest of Wilson's mock draft. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Okay, so you actually went away from the Bengals taking a tackle for this. This is a rare one for the Bengals. You have them taking Kyle Pitts at number 5 after the Falcons sniped them and took Penei Sewell at number 4. Before we get to the Bengals, though, I am curious. Is there any chance that Rashawn Slater goes ahead of Penei Sewell? That feels like the hot Twitter take du jour.
It could happen. I was actually talking to Scott about Rashawn Slater a while ago, towards the end of the season. He opted out, but he liked him more as a guard or a center because of short arms. And I think I haven't seen what his measurements are, but I think he's going to have like 33 inch arms, which people get fired up about. So there's a chance that he does go for. I mean, that was just one scout that I was talking to. It just, you know, it certainly varies person to person, obviously team to team. I like Penei Sewell better than I like Rashawn Slater, number 2. I know Pete likes Darisaw out of Virginia Tech. I think that's his number 2 guy behind Sewell. I've talked to scouts that like Elijah Barrett Tucker, number 2. But again, do you want him to play guard or tackle? I think he had to kick out the tackle after Austin Jackson left to when he was drafted by the Dolphins. Barrett Tucker did for USC, and he blew. He was dominated. I watched him again the other day against Oregon, and people talk about that Oregon game as a bad game for him because here's the name. What's Thibodeau's first name? Thibodeau, their edge rusher, who's going to be draft eligible next year. He's a dude.
Okay.
And people are like, oh, he got the best of Elijah Barrett Tucker. First of all, they threw the ball 52 times, and I think Thibodeau won maybe 2 or 3 of those snaps when they were matched up against each other. I love the way he played. And you see sometimes guards have to play tackle in emergency situations and it doesn't go well. You never would have known that he was a guard given the way he played. But anyway, so there's like 4 guys right there that could certainly be in the mix as number 1 or number 2. So that's the long answer. I like Rashawn Slater, number 2. I like him outside, but I mean, the versatility of him kicking inside is also something teams will probably find attractive.
in this scenario where the Bengals do not take an offensive lineman? Have they addressed it in free agency, or is that simply Kyle Pitts is the best option?
Yeah, no, that's right. So I wrote the Bengals would love to get an offensive line lineman here, but they have a ton of cap spacing to do that during free agency. And I've also had them taking Penei Sewell a bunch of times, and the pick before that, the Falcons, I've had them taking the quarterback a bunch of times. I don't know. We've talked about this.
I'm telling you, I don't think Atlanta's drafting a quarterback this year.
If he's playing for two more years, Matt Ryan, then you don't draft a quarterback unless you're Jordan Love and the Packers. So I had them taking Penei Sewell. Now, they have some offensive linemen there. Let me see what I wrote, because I actually talked about it. The Falcons have four offensive linemen under contract who took NFL snaps last season. But keep reading. The two guys, Caleb McGarry, didn't have a great year last year, according to advanced metrics. Chris Listrom's a guard. They drafted both those guys the first round 2 years ago, and he had a really good season. They still have Matthews. So you can move some things around if you want to make the offensive line better. Because, I mean, my lasting memory of Matt Ryan the last few years is him just getting absolutely browbeaten.
He's been getting destroyed on the offensive line. Like, the whole point of Lindstrom and McGarry, and they traded back up. They took McGarry first and traded back up to get Lindstrom. And the whole point of those two guys was that the Falcons were trying to set it up where they could run the ball effectively, protect Matt Ryan, and they haven't been able to do it. And so if you can improve that offensive line, if you can make the offensive line better, if you can keep Matt Ryan healthy, your defense probably isn't going to be very good. Now, Dean Pease gets the most out of defenses. I think that's a great pull by Arthur Smith to get him out of retirement, but you're asking a lot for that Falcons defense from a personnel perspective with the cuts that they're going to have to make to be able to be effective. So if you want to win football games, you need your offense to be good. And that means keeping Matt Ryan upright. And if you keep Matt Ryan upright, he can have a great season. There's no reason why he can't. So I have no problem with that, especially if you think, you know, Penei Sewell can play right tackle to start. Jake Matthews, you know, is not a spring chicken. And so then eventually you could move him over to the left side. So I don't mind that setup at all.
Yeah, so I've had quarterback going there, and I've never been crazy about it. Again, they're a candidate to trade down. I've had them taking Kyle Pitts. They only have Hunter Henry under contract. That's the only tight end they have right now. So Falcons fans,
you mean not Hunter Henry,
right? Hayden Hurst. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Falcons fans get angry. We have Hayden Hurst. I'm like, yeah, he's got one more year left.
Yeah, it's like the Ravens dumped him for a second round pick to you guys. Like, stop it. He's not.
And look, I had Kyle Pitts going as the first pass catcher, the first receiver, quote unquote, to the Bengals. I love the idea of Joe Burrow wearing him out in the middle of the field if you're a Bengals fan. I know, again, and you just fix off the line of free agency, which is probably potentially more stable, although
You're asking a lot for a rookie tackle to come in and just protect Joe Burrow with no real help around him. I mean, there's only one
Tristan Wirfs, and that, you know.
Yeah, and even they messed up, and he was the third guy that got taken in terms of the
– Exactly.
You have the Panthers taking Mac Jones. Why are you obsessed with this?
JJ, who lives in Charlotte. He's not a Panthers fan, but he's Charlotte.
I grew up a Panthers fan.
Resident, probably. I don't know if he likes, you know, to talk about that because he's a capital J journalist.
I don't think he cares. He's always tweeting about his love for the Tar Heels and MJ, so whatever.
Oh, yeah. By the way, he's wearing, he's on HQ as we record this, talking about the Aaron Jones deal. He's wearing a burgundy members only jacket with CBS Sports embroidered on.
Yeah, he got that for his first Super Bowl, I think.
What? Like, who's his agent? Obviously I love Mac Jones more than just about anyone in the media. I'm okay with that. It's one of those things.
No, I think you should be louder about it, honestly.
And so, and this is what I've been saying for a few weeks. Matt Rhule and that coaching staff, they were the coaching staff at the Senior Bowl with Mac Jones on that roster. So I saw him up close and personal. For those three practices, he didn't play in the game because I think he hurt his ankle. But they also were at the Trey Lance Pro Day last week. So they're obviously kicking the tires on all the quarterbacks, and I get that. But like I mentioned earlier, Mac Jones has a high floor. And Matt Rhule is probably the exception. He ain't getting fired. They just hired Scott Fitterer. I don't think he's getting fired after 1 year for missing on a quarterback. So maybe they could be more take more of a chance on one of these guys who has a much higher ceiling, but perhaps a lower floor at the quarterback situation position. But I like the Mac Jones fit. It gets him inside the top 10, which he may not go there. I'm okay with that. But if he ends up being good in 3 years, I'll still feel good about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem with Mac Jones, if you're a Panthers fan or if you're the Panthers, is that Mac Jones, they have Teddy Bridgewater, who's a you know, high floor, low ceiling guy.
Right.
So it's like, do you want to replace? I don't know if that gets Panthers fans pumped up. That would
I would imagine it doesn't. Like, I don't think Max Jones doesn't get, from what I read on Twitter with angry people tweeting at me, anything above 15 is too high for Max Jones. Like, bottom half of the first round, people seem to be more better suited to accept that.
Yeah. So buyer beware, guys. I think Mac Jones is a buyer beware guy. You'd like Mac Jones.
I put him on my list.
He's on. Okay. See, I was confused by that. So he is on your list.
He is on my list. But then I said, I'm only putting this on the list because I know people want it. But this is why I love Mac Jones.
So he is not a buyer beware for you.
Right.
It's but just, he is on. You're like selling him to the Panthers and telling them to be panicked that they are buying him.
No, I'm telling the reader and the listener, I understand that you don't like Mac Jones.
Okay, so I got you.
Put him on this list, but just know. Also, for the person too lazy to read the whole story, they go, oh, this guy's afraid of Mac Jones, so it's okay. So I'm covering my bases. CYA, baby.
Very impressive. That's some capital J journalism for you. Another guy that is in your first round that is on your buyer beware list, Tyson Campbell, who's going number 28 to the Saints overall.
Yeah, I love Tyson Campbell. He's 6'2", I think he's in his pro day yet, 185, which is incredibly thin. But he plays with loose hips, to use the scouting term. I was actually talking to BMAC about this because his teammate at Georgia, Eric Stokes, ran a 4.2 something at the Fort Lauderdale Pro Day that Prisco and Tom Brady, Brady Quinn were at, which is bonkers. But I don't think he's as good a player as Tyson Campbell. The issue for BMAC, and it's a fair one, is that Tyson Campbell didn't make a ton of plays in terms of generating turnovers, but he was always near the ball, and I think he's going to get better. So I like him. But there's no track record of him crushing it turnover wise, but that's something that can change.
Okay. And also on your list, who did not make the first round, Gregory Rousseau.
Yeah, this is the first time in 28 mock drafts that I don't think he's been in the first round. And the thing is, it could simply be a case of out of sight, out of mind. The guy who replaced him, or took his number at the very least, didn't replace him because he opted out at the U, was Jalen Phillips. And Jalen Phillips looks like a defensive end. Gregory Rousseau, he's skinny, like lower body wise, he has skinny legs. So that means he has to gain weight. A lot of his sacks came sort of rushing on stunts to the inside, which is something he won't do a lot of in the NFL and have success at. And he's raw. He's a wide receiver, just recently converted in the last few years. So there's a chance he falls out of the first round. It's funny though, because, you know, in August, he was a top five pick. He wasn't the next Chase Young, but he was going to be the next edge rusher drafted first. And now, realistically, I think he's a 25 to 35 guy in terms of where he's taken.
And also on the list of buyer beware guys, Rondell Moore, who did not make it in your first round. I would guess that Moore didn't make it in your first round because you, like, Kyle Pitts goes 5 to the Bengals, and then your first wide receiver off the board was Jamar Chase at 6. Your next one, as we mentioned in that trade down by the Dolphins, was Jalen Waddle. And so, like, once you have that sort of trickle down of wide receivers, Rashad Bateman goes at 27. That's how Rondell Moore falls out of the first round, right? Or do you just not think he's a first round caliber talent?
No, he's definitely a first round caliber talent. The issue is he's only played 7 games the last 2 years. Mm. He's 5'9", about 180. He had a 42-inch vertical on Twitter. He tweeted out a few weeks ago. He's insanely quick. But when you look at those numbers, like, he's a sub 4.4 guy. When you look at 42-inch vertical, or like north of 38-inch vertical, less than 4.4 or 4.4, let's say 4.45, and you're 5'9", the only player in the last 20 years that's crushed it as a first or second round pick is Steve Smith. And Steve Smith was actually a third round pick, I think. You're Steve Smith, not the other Steve Smith.
Not the one from
player of the Giants.
USC
guy. But in terms of why he fell out of the first round, so here's the deal. So let's see. The Dolphins could have taken him at 18, but in this draft, I had them trading down to getting Jalen Waddle. The Bears could take him at 20. I love him there, but they don't have a quarterback. The Steelers could take him, but they desperately need offensive line help. The Ravens could take him because they need wide receivers, but you don't need another wide receiver like Hollywood Brown. You need a big target, so he didn't go there. The Saints he would fit perfectly in New Orleans, but I got them defensive help. And the Chiefs could certainly use another Tyreek Hill 2.0, but, I mean, they just cut both their offensive tackles, so I had him take an offensive lineman.
Yeah, and they've got Mecole Hardman there.
Yeah.
They do need help at wide receiver. I feel like Andy Reid can find the wide receiver help. That, you know, that's like Kelce Hill, Mecole Hardman, and Sammy Watkins. He got in free agency. Like all these guys he didn't spend huge draft capital on. So you would not anticipate that they would be like they need offensive line help way more than they need.
Especially now.
Yeah, particularly now. You know, when we were talking about the Chiefs last week, I was sort of like glossed over it. I was looking at it. I was like, man, it looks like Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher are cut candidates in my head. And I don't know if I mentioned it on the pod. Because
we talked about it. And I was like, oh, Achilles injury. That'll be an 8 or 9 month thing, which, you know, which is always what my go-to. It was a 4-day thing because then they cut him.
Oh, no, we did talk about it because Breach was like, they might not be able to cut him because of injury stuff.
Breach said, oh, we'll trade a 3rd-round pick for what's-his-face out of Jacksonville.
Taysom Hill, he'd be fine. DJ Chark.
No, the quarterback. What's his name?
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew. Yeah.
Breach, what are you thinking here?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard him say.
The madness is upon us, and the Eye on College Basketball podcast is your audio guide for the entire NCAA tournament. Over the next few weeks, Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander will take you from Selection Sunday to the net cutting in Indianapolis. This week, they'll help you fill out your bracket and then provide recaps after each day of action as the tournament tips off. You with the best March Madness analysis, subscribe to the Eye on College Basketball podcast anywhere you find this one. Wilson, did you hear Matt Norlander's 7-minute intro? Where he cut.
Yes, I heard it. Because he sent out 40
tweets about it.
40 tweets of photographs that I couldn't make out what it was. And as an angry old person, it infuriated me that I couldn't figure out what was going on.
So Norlander did like a super cut of like everything being canceled last year. It was kind of cool to hear it, although he did use his voice like 17 times. It was all CBS Sports HQ. So I mean, it ended up being him and Parrish talking a lot. But it was just wild to hear. You know, all these cancellations happening, you know, it back then it was just like, oh my, like what is happening? And now, you know, with some, you know, years worth of perspective, it's a little easier to sort of think back on, but I mean, the whole thing just crazy. And
is,
so
NC State making the NCAA tournament? Like I haven't followed anything. I haven't followed 1 second of college basketball.
No, we're not making it.
Oh really? You're worse than Duke.
Duke's not making it.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Who's worse?
No, Duke was worse than us.
Oh, okay. Did you beat Duke?
Duke had to play. Do we beat Duke? Duke had to play on Tuesday in the ACC tournament. Tuesday, first time in their history, I believe.
Wow. We haven't had as we talk. Well, they haven't done the announcement yet, right?
No, we record this at 5 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, Selection Sunday will be on. If you're streaming this, make sure and check out Selection Sunday on CBS Sports. The Illini and Ohio State are playing in the Big Ten final that leads directly into the Selection Sunday action. Any other thing that's worth talking about from your? Oh yeah, the Buccaneers taking Travis Etienne. That's fun.
Yeah, his pro day he ran a 4.4, which you know that's about right. So yeah, that I mean we don't know what's going to happen with playoff Lenny. I don't think you bring playoff Lenny back. What are you paying him?
$5 million. I mean they have so they got.
I wouldn't pay him $5 million.
I mean, they got Lavonte David under contract. Shaq Barrett commented about on Tom Brady's Instagram on when he restructured his contract about coming back. So it sounds like he'll probably be back. I don't know. It feels like there's a good chance that they can bring back whoever they want. They have Chris Godwin franchise tagged. I just think I would rather draft ETN at 32 than pay playoff Letty.
Yeah, $5 million for that. I was thinking $4 million before. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Now, if Lenny wants to come back and play for cheap, then that's fine. You can, you know, you don't need to draft a running back in the first round. I mean, that's.
And they have Keyshawn Vaughn, who, you know, he got in trouble because he couldn't hold another ball, and Bruce Arians isn't down with that. But
and Ronald Jones, too. Like, Ronald Jones fumbled a bunch and was injured, but I mean, he's played well. And I think, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But I don't necessarily hate that.
And can block and he can catch. So that helps Tom Brady.
That's right. All right. That does it for me on the questions of the mock draft. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's it. I didn't give the Eagles a quarterback, so.
Debo kept his yap shut.
Well, Eagles fans don't have to yell at me this week on Twitter, I'm sure.
So now they're mad that you didn't draft a quarterback?
No, that's usually what they get angry about.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're like 2 weeks away from the Trey Lance to the Eagles mock.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I will say this quickly. So there's someone sent me this. I can't remember who it is. But this guy named Andy Carlson does the Purple for the Win podcast. He's a Vikings fan. And every week he grades my mock draft. And
that's great.
He's actually really nice. And I appreciate the fact that he's not just dunking on me the whole time. But he did say probably a month ago now that he predicts, because of the way these mock drafts go, I do it every week. I don't think anyone else outside of CBS does a weekly one. He said, I'm pretty sure Wilson's going to be the first guy to have someone other than Trevor Lawrence going number one.
Wow. Which that seems like an insult.
Oh, it 100% is, but that gives you some indication of, you know, even when folks say it nicely, people don't take me seriously.
All right. Good stuff, Wilson, as always. Thank you. We will talk to you soon, buddy.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.